If an individual poses the question that please tell me that in the world which country or nation is most happy, is the happiest, then obviously everybody will start to think that which country is the richest, which country is the wealthiest. And then a standard will come in front of our minds or eyes that wherever, for example, there are resources, let's take oil and commodities and riches, resources, then a person will think about where that place is, and there are roads there, there's infrastructure, houses, nice buildings and structures, and people are wealthy and they've got cars. And we'll say, yeah, this is the wealthiest country. So this must be the country which is the most, you can say, prosperous and happy. So the standard that we hold or we have is that prosperity, big houses, structures, wealth and means. And these are the sort of criteria that we use to define if a country is happy and wealthy. And if the same way we ask a question, or somebody asks us a question, now which person is the richest person in the world? Which person amongst us is the richest person? Then again, we'll bring the standard in front of ourselves, the definition, and we see the person who's got a lot of assets, money, wealth, a large bank balance, a lot of methods to attain resources and outward apparent happiness. We'll say, yeah, this person is the richest person. So this is our standard, isn't it? That we have adopted, that we utilize. But there are, you can say, the offshoots of this standard and criteria. And this is not the reality gauge to measure happiness. Rather, this is a, you can say, waste of time criteria to measure who is wealthy. Because the standard that we've used to see, is this country the wealthiest? Is this person the wealthiest? Allah Ta'ala says that this is not the measurement gauge. The example of this is just like, for example, if you sleep on a bed, you sleep on your bed, and for example, a person like me who's poor, and he lies down on his bed and goes to sleep. And 6 hours, 7 hours, however long you will lie down, you'll see a dream. And in that dream, you'll see that I've got a Chevrolet car, and I'm driving this nice car, and I've got a big house. I've got real estate assets, and I'm wandering around in my car for 6 hours across my land. And mashallah, I'm rich and wealthy, and I'm traveling around, and I'm enjoying myself whilst I view my estate. And after 6 hours, when my eyes open, and I will be on that bed, on that mattress, and I'll be in the same place where I was, and just I'll remember, oh, I've got nothing to my name, that where the journey started, I'm lying down in the same place, the same animal, the same person. Have I got kingdom? Will I see the cars? Will I see the money? I saw it in the dream for how long? 6 hours, maybe. So this is the situation, that the examples that we give of people around us, that how long will this last for? How long will the wealth last for? How long will this exist for? This is just a little bit of a color that Allah Ta'ala has given. If Allah Ta'ala shakes the earth, we can't see. Where's that jazeera gone? Where's the island gone? Where's that country gone? For example, where those people gone? And the way a person, people, they sleep 6 hours, 7 hours pass, and there's no value of those things that we dream about. So brothers, this is not the reality of happiness or the reality of life. And this is ajeeb, weird thinking that we have the street where you say, oh, this person's wealthy. This is not the foundation. It's a dream, like in the dream, I'm counting the notes, driving a nice car, going into a big house. Yeah, as long as they give us assistance, for example, these things in the world. Whenever we, for example, leave the world and the building's gone and everything's gone and distributed away. So we realize that this was temporary. And what happens is that, for example, when a person passes away, his shirt's taken off, clothes are taken off, vest taken off, the earrings are taken off, and the ring that was pierced in the nose, even that's taken off, and that watch that he is wearing on his wrist or her wrist, that's dragged off, pulled off, and the rings that people were wearing, that this is this jewel and this priceless stone, it's taken off and given away. They're not given away, rather, it comes into that person's share who you disliked, it goes as inheritance to that person. Subhanallah. Yes? So you didn't want to see that person's face whilst you were living. Oh, I don't like this person. I dislike this person. And the thing that you like the most, the asset you like the most, that's gone in that person's inheritance. So then, does this follow our standard of life? So why are we afraid? So let's ask the Quran that who is the wealthiest? Subhanallah. Let's ask the Quran. Allah has given us the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has defined. Allah will tell us who's wealthy and rich. We are living in the life of dreams. That we're foolish, that 6-7 hours of dream. What about the 50, 60, 70 years? We start to condense our life, then a very few moments of time will come out where we ponder on the quality of life. I'll tell you the truth. There are many people who have not even utilized things in the world and they depart from the world. Yes? Their clothes are hanging. Yes? And there's money that they're amassing. They've bought shoes in their life, but they haven't had time to wear those shoes. They've amassed wealth, but haven't had time to spend that wealth. So, is that person rich? What kind of wealth is that person? That's just like dreaming. Oh, you see him, oh, he's rich, he's wealthy, he's got this, but he's more foolish, who looks at those people and their jaws drop and say, oh, they're rich. No, let's ask the Quran, that who is the richest person? Who is the wealthiest person? The Quran will explain to us. The Quran will define. So if we understand this today, after today, make a proper intention. We don't want to become the king of the dreams, the richest person in the dreams. We want to be the true wealthy person. So do you make a true promise? When I say something, when I speak, inshallah, we should enjoy what we're discussing. Brothers, this is a dream. Why do you go towards dreams and mirages and deception? That when I go and lie on the mattress, I will start to see these things as well. Whatever's in my mind during the day, I'll start to dream in the night. But the genuine article is that when we go into the true dream of what we will get in the hereafter, that when we wake up from this dream of this life and in the hereafter, when we wake up in the real life, we have nice houses, we have nice transportation, we have beautiful vehicles and nice houses. Then we will realize that, this person is wealthy. Let's take this person. And that welcoming that will come, this will be a permanent welcoming and a permanent wealthy person. And nobody can wipe away that title. So how foolish is that person who is sticking to his guns in this world and saying, I just want the riches in this world. Rather, don't even think about these things. Don't even think. Just rather think that I'm passing the time in this world. For example, when you go on a journey, when you're on a journey, you're keen to get to the end destination. For example, you go on Umrah. When you go to Umrah, after a week, when you pass a week, you think, it's only a week, isn't it? I'll do some Umrah. And then when you get a place, you say, it's okay, even if the hotel or the room is not nice, it's okay, we're just here for a little bit of time. You don't think that you're here forever. It doesn't matter what happens. It's okay, I'm going to go back home soon. I'm only here for a few days. And the people of intellect and mindset, they're thinking about the life in the dunya is like this. They say, no, it's okay. For example, it's okay. Eat this and your stomach will fill up. Now, I remember a statement of my Hazrat, Damat Barakatuh. What a great example. And the walis of Allah, the Hazrat said, Bahu, why do you wander around distressed? You have eaten. I've eaten. It was all time. And Hazrat said this, smiling. Why do you worry about food and wealth? You have eaten and I've eaten, Hazrat said in his dialect. What do these people know? As I said, does anyone know that what you have eaten? Do you know what I've eaten? Do I know that if you eat chicken, do you know if I've eaten meat or goat meat or sweet rice or zarda or pilau rice? We're all sat here and everyone's stomach is full. Isn't it? Do you know what I've eaten? Do I know what you've eaten? No, somebody's eaten this dish, etc. And as I said, I've eaten yogurt with chapati and my stomach is also full. So nobody knows what each other person's eaten. So the objective is to fill the stomach. And to fill the stomach, we run around so much, we don't know about halal and haram, no decency, no etiquettes, and we know we're doing wrong, and only that same amount will go in the stomach that went previously. What a weird concept we have of life. Weird concept. A Muslim should not have this concept in life. This is a very wrong. And a person spends his whole life running around, dragging himself around. I say with guarantee that when a person passes away, that he leaves the amount of wealth behind him, that he doesn't even know that he's living that behind him. There's some in the bank, some here, some has been given on loan, some is here or there, etc. We don't even know half of the money that we've left behind. And to attain that wealth, what have we done? We have broken the rules that Allah Ta'ala gave us, Allah Ta'ala's orders. We've wasted opportunities in which we could have sat down and attained the high, high grades of Jannah, paradise. The high ala muqam of Jannah we could have attained. We could have gone to the highest rank and status. Such moments in life we have wasted. Such moments in life were wasted. Why? To amass the money and the wealth. We look back, we won't even see an atom's weight. Where has that money gone? It becomes dust. and like the sand and the soil. Allah gives example, there's a place where people are happy in the city, and in the morning when an earthquake arrives there, then just you see dust and rubble on the ground and nothing else. It's happening nowadays as well. We see this in the news, we see this regularly, we see the news that we just, and this is happening. Sometimes it happens here in different parts of the world. Allah Ta'ala continues that cycle, and these are the signs for those people of understanding. Though this was a great country, great city, and they had big tall buildings and structures, 20, 34 stories tall, and they collapse like a pack of cards and everything's gone, finished. Not that we can't see. We see these examples in the world on a regular basis. But shaitan and our desires have overwhelmed our brains. That when we see these things, we say, oh, this man, he's rich, he's wealthy, I want to be like him, I want to be like her. No, become so wealthy that the angels should mention us in the heavens. Oh, look how rich this person is passing by. How wealthy he is. So this is the point we need to understand. So let's ask, should we ask the Quran, or should we ask the Quran that we want to be rich people? Should we? Inshallah, we want to become rich, isn't it? That no, we don't seek poverty or wealth in terms of the worldly definition. We just need to fill the stomach. It's not necessary that you need a tasty and delicious dish. You just have to fill the stomach. I say, you know the chickpeas, the chana, like the chana, lentils, we see people on the Umrah. They say, oh, I'm going to eat it. When I eat this and that, my stomach gets upset. So they eat the cooked chana, chickpeas or the lentils, and then they drink some zamzam water and they're filled. Their stomach's filled. Do you have to 1 hour, 2 hours join the queues to buy a plate of chicken or korma or meat korma for an hour? They're standing in the queue to buy a korma plate. Oh, wali wallah, sit for an hour and you're in Masjid al-Nabawi, you're doing itikaf and you're spending time in the Masjid in solitude. If you had read some Quran for that past hour, where you could have reached your level? You could recite a durood for 1 hour, you're queuing up to fill your stomach. And where you've come from, you have eaten and drunk in a nice way. You can go back to your home in your country and eat and drink nicely, but no, we leave the Masjid, we're in a queue. We don't care that azan is being called, we have to do adhan, wudu, we'll pray in the masjid right at the back. But we're happy to do that, but we want that plate of korma. Do you see the lines and the queues running for food that we eat all the time? So this is our standard and definition. Where we're thinking those moments and times, that life, that for example, that time we have an opportunity to become wealthy, we are wasting that time. We think we've struck the bullseye. Oh, I'm doing great deeds. And remember that select such a job and occupation. Select such an occupation job, select such a business, select such a business, alhamdulillah, in which you earn the dunya according to your needs and you earn the akhirah according to what we have the need for. And if we do this, inshallah, in this world we'll become wealthy, and in the hereafter we'll become wealthy. So we don't have to give to anybody, no loan, no spending. We will sleep nicely, we'll have eaten in the day. We won't be afraid, oh, will my stock sell? Oh, my stock is stuck. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I'm not getting any orders. I'm not getting any, etc. You say, wait there, 2 minutes, wait. Everything that you're doing, why are you so distressed? And I'm saying, what's the benefit of this? What's the benefit of all this? That if this, for example, if we don't have this, will we pass away due to hunger? No, we won't. We'll be able to. And Allah Ta'ala says, I've written your rizq, your wealth for you. Such a system of life we should make. Such a system of life in which that we have the needs of the world and we earn to fulfill our needs, but according to our daily needs, not more than that. The needs that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that's it. And in the hereafter, we should have untold and numerous and you can say infinite resources and rewards. We should tire ourselves in this world for thereafter. I'm doing this amal, this deed, khairat and sadaqah and good deeds to help other people. Different types of deeds, not just I'm sat on the prayer mat all day long. No. And for the hereafter, in a good way, go to the market and there, go somewhere else and help somebody in the day. Take somebody to the hospital, send somebody home, drop somebody home. Thousands of paths and methods Allah Ta'ala has given to us to earn paradise, jannah. Thousands. Look at this. So does the eye not open wide when we hear these things to understand this? So Allah Ta'ala says, who is the wealthiest person? What wealth does that person have to his name that makes him wealthy? The Quran tells us that the most wealthiest person in the world is that person who has iman. Who? What does he have? Iman. The wealthiest person in the world is who? The person who has iman. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at this point. Look at this point. Such a great point here. Very wealthy and extremely wealthy. And the wealthiest is that person who has iman, who has belief, very wealthy person, a supreme wealthy person. This is the wealth of Iman, a great wealth indeed. Now, what we need to see is that who has this wealth and in what amount do we have this? We have Iman, we have belief. If someone says to me, oh, the person with the dollar currency is the wealthiest person. Okay, fair enough, the person with the dollar is wealthy. But the person, everyone has a dollar in the world. Is there anyone who doesn't know what is a dollar? We have $1, $2, more dollars. So is that person who's wealthy? The one who has $1 or many dollars? The one who has more dollars. So alhamdulillah, everyone has Iman. But the wealthiest person is that person whose Iman is the strongest in magnitude, in intensity, in quality. He or she will be the wealthiest person. So what should the people of Iman do? They should become or target or aim to become wealthy. We should all target to become wealthy. So this Iman that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we should increase it. We should increase it to the heights. Increase it as much as possible. Just like, imagine there's no limit to the heights of the Iman that we can attain. This is what we need to do. And upon this point, this is such a great wealth, such a great, you can say, rich asset, that those people who are wealthiest, imagine their wealth, that the Iman is the height, is at the highest point, and what Allah will give them. So here, Allah Ta'ala is just talking about the person on the minimum level, a person who has an atom's weight of Iman, just a dot's weight of Iman. Is there any value to a dot? A dot on a piece of paper. And if a person has Iman equivalent to this amount, the dot, Allah says he'll be so wealthy. If we take the whole world and what it contains and multiply by 10, take the kingdoms, take the sultanates, take the treasures of the world. If the gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with the treasures, even more valuable than that is the person who has Iman. Subhanallah. So first we should do shukr and be grateful morning, night, after every salah, after every action, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, after waking up in the morning, before we go to sleep, after getting up from sleep, remember this one point with regards to this wealth, that the first thing, whenever we do something, ibadah, worship, when we go to Allah ta'ala and ask from Allah, then we should be grateful to Allah for the Iman that He has given to us. That Allah, I'm not grateful for anything else, children, business, wealth. Allah, I am most grateful to you, most grateful to you for giving me Iman. Iman, belief. So brothers, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. How many people get up in the morning and are grateful to Allah for Iman? Allah Ta'ala says, I swear by Allah, very few people. Allah Ta'ala says, Shakartum la azidannakum, subhanallah. If you wake up in the morning and do shukr, that subhanallah, I'm grateful to you that you've given me Iman. What would I do without Iman? Where would I go? Where to go? That the dharra of Iman, the dharra of Iman, atom's weight of Iman is so valuable. Allah, how can I be grateful to you? Shakartum la azidannakum. Allah Ta'ala says, in the morning, if you are grateful to me, I promise to you, Allah says, that I will increase your Iman, I will increase it. Azidannakum. Great statement. So today, after today, let's make a true promise, a firm promise, that when we wake up, first thing we will do after waking up, what will we be grateful for? Allah, we are grateful to you that you are what made us wake up with Iman. No fitna came to me, no test came to me, no extreme challenge came to me. You didn't test me in this night, and you allowed me to sleep with Iman. And Mawla, you have awoken me with Iman intact. This is hadith in Mustanad. That the time will come, the day will come when a person with Iman will sleep with Iman and wake up without Iman. Allah, I swear by Allah, many people are departing the dunya without Iman. Many. That in the night they will sleep with Iman and wake up without Iman. Wake with Iman and sleep without Iman. It doesn't take a second nowadays to lose Iman, and I swear by Allah, this is the situation in the Ummah today. That in the morning there will be Iman, in the evening it will have, by the evening it will disappear. And a person who sleeps in the evening with Iman, by the morning it will disappear. And this is the generation we're living in now. Now on small points, our Iman is sold. On Iman, small points, our Iman disappears. Even the dharra doesn't remain, the atom's weight of Iman doesn't remain. And we're not even grateful for this. We're not even grateful for the Iman we have. That many thousands of points shaitan instills into our minds and our nafs desires. Maybe we do dua, but nobody says this, Allah, I'm grateful to you for Iman you've given to us. Subhanallah. Wahid. It will be those people, the walivala in this day and age, who will wake up in the morning, Allah, I'm grateful to you that you have kept me in which environment and society, and you've saved me 5 minutes, and this statement will be greater than tahajjud that we wake up for to pray tahajjud. I tell you that to be grateful to Allah, to be grateful to Allah will be a great reward in repayment from Allah. Allah will say that Allah will say, Allah save us from fitna, save us from fitna. We'll say, Allah, you save me from fitna. I don't know how many people in this night, men and women, have sold their iman. Sold the iman and wasted the iman. Allah, my Mawla, my protector, my master, you have preserved me. And subhanAllah, Allah, the ilm you've given to me, the knowledge you've given to me, the Quran you've given to me, the items of action you've given to me, and Allah, you've protected me with those, and this is your mercy as well. Otherwise, these assets would be lost from me always. I wouldn't have the Quran, I wouldn't prostrate, I wouldn't pray salah. I swear by Allah, this occurs. I swear by Allah, this occurs. That iman is a great rule of Allah. And a person just shrugs this off. And he says, oh, go, don't tell me about iman. I will learn myself. And I've met such people. And the body trembles and shakes when they reject Allah Ta'ala's deen. So what we should do is that we're not even grateful to what Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We have no qadr, no appreciation. So who is the most wealthiest person, my brothers? Say it loudly. Who? Aha. What is the greatest ni'mah and treasure? Iman. And we have this, say Alhamdulillah. So what we need to do is just be grateful for this ni'mah of Allah. If a person, even if he sells £10 more today, compared to yesterday, say, oh, subhanAllah, I'm grateful to Allah. Customers have come in their droves and I've sold much stock today. Much stock. And I've sold a lot of stock. The orders have come. And not just sale, but orders have come. Oh, mashallah, brother, you're buying a new car. Yeah. You're buying a new number plate. The new number plate, the new license plate. And this is the discussion that brings in the world. Mashallah, your business is flourishing. Yes. So when are you going to give us some sweet meal and mitai? We're coming for tea that you need to enjoy. Have we said this or not? Have we gone to such a result or not? Oh, mashallah, you've bought a new house, bhai sahab. Or you say, when are you inviting us to your new home? When's the khatam? When's the majlis going to be for your new home? So on everything in the world, we're congratulating people. But nobody says this, subhanAllah. That Allah, I'm grateful to you that you've given iman. When you go to the marketplace, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. When you look left and right, and you see so much dunya that's wandering around without iman. They don't even know what is iman. In this country we're living in, mashallah. So at least at that time, stop for a minute or two. Say, Allah, if I was like this, then what is specialities within me that you have saved me? Allah Ta'ala, how have I appreciated the man you've given to me? What haram have I left? And how have I saved my eyesight? And what truth have I spoken? Allah, what salah correct have I prayed? What was there right in me that you gave me the path? But due to the sadaqah of your Habib, you saved me and fall into prostration right at that time. I have no status, Ya Allah. I have no status. As you're walking around, look at people around you, look at society. Look at people may be lost and then go towards the Quran. Subhanallah. What does the Quran say to us? That the people of Iman, when they will go on the Day of Judgment, how they will be treated, and those who don't have Iman, how they will be treated, what is their hal? Where does the wealth go? Where does that sultanate and kingdom and land go that you're seeing this around you? And if I start to read, then half of the Quran will explain to us that what occurred to those people. Allah Ta'ala keeps reminding us about the people who had punishment. So Allah Ta'ala has explained to us, Allah Ta'ala said, oh Habib, that don't look towards these people, don't look at the glow and the glitter and the treasures of the world. This is all temporary, as it's not been mentioned in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is addressing his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has given us aql. That thou don't even look around and be in awe of wealth and money and cash, etc. What is this Allah Ta'ala says? This is not the reality of being wealthy. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to show, Rasulullah was asked, Allah Ta'ala said that if you want to show Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anha, who is the head of the women of Jannah, she had the stone tied to her stomach and she had blisters on her hands. And in the hadith is stated that once Rasulullah went to see his daughter and he saw, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she was cooking something on the stove, and the smell of the hot stove and the coal was on her body, and she didn't even have a shawl to wrap her around herself in the body. And Rasulullah once threw his cloak into her home and said, oh Fatima, wrap yourself in this blanket. Tell me. Subhanallah. But so much shukr of iman, the high maqam, the shukr, I'm grateful to you, my Mawla, that I'm happy. I'm happy with what you've given her. And Rasulullah said, oh Fatima, if you desire that, if you pick up this prayer mat, you will from underneath be able to count the mounds of gold that Allah Ta'ala will give to you. Subhanallah. And the dunya we're living in, that we run after. And Rasulullah said that, what will you be, oh Fatima, my dear daughter? In the hadith, it said, what a great hadith, you will have heard this before. that the people of paradise will be sat down in paradise. Aha! And they'll be in their homes, their abodes, there'll be fountains, waterfalls, and there'll be everything will fall. And suddenly the light will spread in Jannah. Suddenly, what will happen? There'll be extreme light, intense, that you feel like hundreds of thousands of the suns have come together in multiplication, and Allah's visibility, didar will take place. What a great note. Everyone will fall in prostration that we're about to see Allah. Then from above Allah, the announcement will come that this is not the sight of Allah. Eat and drink and enjoy yourself. Allah says that I will call you. So what was this light, Allah? Allah says that you are sat in Arafat, and Ali spoke, and Fatima, she smiled, and this is the glitter and the glow, the sparkle coming from the teeth of Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anha. Aha. And subhanAllah, the beautiful fragrance would emanate because they had the ilm of their hereafter. Some days have passed and they will pass their life in this world and they will reach to their destination. And we are going ourselves, somebody 50 years old, somebody 60 years old, since you have met me, how much life has changed, how much our age has increased, has it not? Haji sahab, has it? As Haji sahab was young and look now, mashallah, he's old. So this is what we see, that this child, now we can see the white hair is coming in the person's beard. Before it was black. So now, today's day is gone, another day is gone, another day is gone, another day is gone, another day. Just like you count the beads on the tasbih, this is how life is passing away. So let's ask ourselves today, what have we earned with this iman that we have? Today I need to ask myself a question. What have I done with this iman? What have I done? Tell me. I need to ask myself. What have I done with this iman? Aha. So this is a very, very minimum, you can say, level that a person prays salah 5 times a day. It is fard. It is compulsory. We have to do this, otherwise we'll be scolded. We'll be scolded, we'll be punished. It's our duty, just like a guard gives a duty and he's told that you have to guard it for 6 hours, and he will do the duty for 6 hours or 5 days, etc. Total hours, he'll be paid. But here the enjoyment is that all night long, the individual should worship Allah all night long. This is the enjoyment. And apart from this, what extra have we done in our life? And this is the point about iman. That iman, Allah says, I give you a duty. They have to pray 5 times a day. Even that we can't fulfill. People who are immodest, they run away from the salah 5 times a day. At least pray 5 times a day. And we say, no, he's namazi, he prays salah. And what will happen? The sticks will come. The sticks will come. Allah Ta'ala says that pray salah. So just like Allah Ta'ala says that, just like you've left the sunnah, you can leave salah. Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's azim sunnah. Actions that we cannot imagine, that what is the value of those sunnahs with iman. And then that sunnah, one sunnah takes a person's iman to the extreme heights. One sunnah of Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on which the Quran is testifying, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُهْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Can there not be a greater reward than this? Imagine. But why? Why don't we take heed? We say, oh, it's not fard. We don't need to do this. That's it. We sit there with a big head, broad chested. Oh, it's okay. No, I don't need to fulfill these conditions or go on this journey. No. I can go when I feel like, etc. So this is also the hal of fard, the salah that we pray. If Allah Ta'ala's strictness was not on our heads, and if Allah Ta'ala wasn't to give us the punishment we deserve, then there, if Allah was to give this, then there'll be everyone around us would pray salah. A person can pray salah. We can see Allah, we can pray salah. That if we are forced to, but we need to release that pressure and see how much love do we have for Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is asked, okay, go on, go be gone with you in freedom, we'd see how many people love Allah. Nobody would come to the masjid. Nobody would come. I can lay down this challenge, you can say, nobody would come. They say, what difference does it make? We don't need to go to the masjid. It's not fard. I don't need to go here for this reason. So now, do we have the muhabbat, the love, or is it khaliqi or haqiqi? Is it reality? That is there any favor of Rasulullah that's not upon us? If there was any individual who's got who did so many favors for us that we need to repay, can there be anyone greater? Is there anyone greater than the Imam Al-Anbiya of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The untold favors of his that are on our heads and our lives. So do we do those actions that he likes? We'll debate 70 times before we even think about practicing a sunnah. 70,000 excuses. And the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, they implemented such sunnahs that nobody else would understand what they're doing. That we asked, Hazrat, what are you doing? He said, doing what? He said that you're doing these actions. They look a bit weird. You're walking and then you rub your body on this stone. What does this mean? We're all walking, we to ask. And he said that I'm doing this for this reason, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rubbed his body on this boulder, so I'm doing the same. Somebody asked for dalil and there were questions. Was there any masla that was solved? Were there too many questions? Subhanallah, straightforward answer. So if we have something, then there will be some sunnah behind that person. What was this behind the answer of that person? What was it? Hubbe Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no drama. For example, once a year, that said, let's go, we wander and travel. This is like Ishq Hussain. This is the Ishq of Rasul in the year once. So this is playing a game with the deen. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us himself, "Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani, faqad ahabbani." And if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us himself that whoever loves my sunnah, I will love that person. I will love that person. So if the person who's giving the love, he is telling us the same, so why are we afraid? No, I'll do this action, then I'll get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do this, I'll get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We use different means and wrong means. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to see that how much love do they have for my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah Ta'ala says, if our iman was to be tested, then we'd be even worse than the scenario we're in now. Worse scenario. So let's not be, you could say, relying on our salah. What's the real point, genuine point there? Is iman. What do we need to do with iman? It's a great treasure. And it's about even an atom's weight of iman. You've understood this, haven't you? And listen to this other point. This is proven from hadith. And for example, I'll give you a worldly example. There's a person who's very rich and wealthy. Very rich and wealthy. Take anybody. Let's take Marks and Spencer, director. Let's take Asda, Sainsbury's. Great big stores, and there are millions of the stores in there. So show me one person from the minimum level employee to the highest level. Is there anybody who will leave £100,000 at the end of the day and he's not worried about the thief? He says, no problem, I don't need to put the shutters down, we can just leave today. Then will any phone be saved from Sainsbury's? Will any person be saved from bringing the milk home? Will any slice of bread be saved? Will the cake be saved? Will the biscuits be saved? Whatever comes, oh, let's take it. It's open, eat it. What difference does it make? So will people eat this or not? Or not? So then why? Due to the fear. They say, no, I've got to put the shutter down. We don't have the trust. We don't know. Put the padlock on. The big, thick padlock on the door. Then we need to do the different types of locks. Alarm clocks. Even then we don't trust. We say, I need a security guard. We'll give him some wages. And there are cameras, there's an alarm clock, and we are looking out for a security guard. Then we'll call out that, oh, has there been any theft today? Is there anything to do? And even the person who's the security person, maybe he's like me, and maybe we don't know, does he sleep or does he stay awake? He goes and says, what security do I need to do? So do we do this? Don't we do this? Of course we do. So this is the scenario that's surrounding us. And there's so much wealth that needs to be protected, isn't it? But the true wealth of iman, will that not be looted? Will that not be stolen? Will there not be thieves running after the genuine wealth? Will the thieves not try to steal our genuine wealth? Of course they will. This is common sense. Allah Ta'ala is saying this. So my brothers, that if we consider that even after iman, the thief attacks. And it should be that when a person passes away, we don't want that shaitan has stolen everything from our storeroom. He's taken all our deeds and transferred them into sins. Allahu Akbar. We don't want this because we didn't have the lock. We had no protection. We didn't have the protection. The pious predecessors say that how do we protect iman? This is the topic of today that I come towards. My actual topic is this that was in my mind. That look, that we have accepted that the greatest wealth is the wealth we have, which is iman. We accept this. Yes. The second point, the however big is the wealth, then the thief is more skilled and plans to take that treasure. So what's the thief that will take our iman? So the first decision we need to make today is always we need to do what with the iman? We need to strengthen it. We need to have it. So we have to protect iman as well on top of that. We need to protect our iman. Hifazat, otherwise, do we depart with those who don't have iman? We have no guarantee tomorrow will we be able to depart this world with iman or not. Somebody stolen our wealth. We don't know. It was there. We consider ourselves to be people of iman. For this reason, there was a danger of theft because we didn't protect our stock or our shop. Allah Ta'ala gave us the technology that put the padlock in. Will somebody just take it that easily? Of course not. So either if we had locked it properly, then we have no worries. But we haven't blocked it, we haven't protected that. So tomorrow, how can we say with confidence that this has happened today? So, what we need to see, there are many people, what percentage shall I give to you? Rather 99% probably or more. There are so many people who have gone into their grave and they will not rise with the with iman as the people of iman. Remember this. Oh, you've not bought iman. They'll say, so how can you rise with those of iman? You've sold your iman. Your iman was taken away from you in the dunya. So you're not people of iman, of faith. So what's the second action we need to do? Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? You're not unhappy or upset with what I'm saying. What's the second action? First is we need to bring about iman, have iman. And secondly is to protect the iman. And this is the game of life. This is the game. That with iman is everything. What is with iman today? We have everything in the dunya. Fala of the dunya and forgiveness in the hereafter. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And these both things results are touched with iman. Subhanallah. That there's no positive or negative in any iran. This is the shan of the mu'min. The person can be with falah here. And when he passes away, then what? That he can sleep with the different options. So if we don't have these things, both things are ghaib and they're missing. Then what do we need to do? We need to be grateful for the iman and we need to protect the iman. Next question comes. So how do I protect iman? What's the padlock that I apply to the door? So brothers, in the hadith and the Quran is told to us what is the lock of the heart. So when, if we start to implement that today and put it on today, will we put it on? Yes, inshallah. And inside us now, all the mal that we had, that we protected, our prayed salah, read Quran, did dhikr, went on tabligh, had good things, good lectures, had waaz, had hadith, mashallah, taqreer and speech, and everything was being amassed. When we went, shaitan came back and he spent all of everything that was around us. So he takes this out, this mal, etc. He hasn't even closed the door. And from behind comes the backstabbing, etc. and the accusations. So all day long the customer is being approached. The person works hard in the dunya. So what do we need to do when we work hard and we attain iman? Then we need to apply the lock to the iman so we can protect the iman. Alhamdulillah. And such a lock, where will it open? Allah Ta'ala says that I will open that door with my own keys if you misplace them, and I'll give you what you need at that time. So is there such a lock, which is great. So what is that lock, my brothers? Subhanallah, there are two locks of the heart. And there are two, one stronger than the other. So number one lock is what? The first lock is what? Dhikr Allah. Remembrance of Allah. Say again, subhanallah. Say again, subhanallah. And this is such a great lock. If I start to read the hadith about dhikr, the verses of the Quran and the hadith and the statements of the walis of Allah, pious predecessors. And the biggest effect of dhikr is that dhikr of Allah protects the heart of a believer. He protects the heart of a believer so much that the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, What did he do? His very beloved companion. Rasulullah was taking him to the outskirts of the city, and Rasulullah said that when you depart from this world, then your tongue should be moistened with the kalima of dhikr. And this is how desperate you are in need of this. So tell me, those people who don't do dhikr, that how will Allah Ta'ala protect them? That how will they go and who will they go through? It cannot be that against Allah Ta'ala's desire. That person does amal and practice and he thinks that he will succeed. Whole life he is living the life of deception. The whole life long that person lives life of deception. Allah Ta'ala says there's no deed which is so great. The dhikr of Allah, it protects iman, the belief of a person. It protects. So if you try your hardest, and I say to you, you can try as hard as you want, but totally you cannot be out of danger. And yes, a person can leave this dunya without iman. He can. So that person, for example, all his affairs become sahal, easy, if he connects the lock of the dhikr of Allah with his heart. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. What does this mean? What does it mean? That are we, mashallah, you going with iman, you have attained success. Allah Ta'ala has given guarantee, isn't he? That Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving guarantee here. So Allah Ta'ala says, the fulun, the falah will come in the heavens. I've spoken about the falah. Allah Ta'ala says, you speak about false currency and money, I'll give you a shop or a house or assets. You're speaking like this. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll show you at the end of the day. The person who goes to read Quran is looking forward to the future. Allah Ta'ala says that, oh Allah, Allah Ta'ala didn't say that I'll give you this and this. Allah says, I'll give you according to your needs, comfortably. So should we do dhikr or not, my friends? First, take hold of the action of dhikr of Allah. Regularly. Do this much dhikr at least, definitely, in your life. Then we are departing from the world, then the dhikr of Allah has overwhelmed us. So now you can imagine how much dhikr we should do. So don't make a fuss. Don't make a fuss. Who are we fussing to? Who are we complaining to? Tell me. That if I make myself punctual, that how much will be dunya have in my life, and what is overwhelming me, what do I like, what's coming into my life, that we can determine this ourselves. Kathir, Allah says kathira. And such a word Allah Ta'ala has utilized, subhanAllah, such a word, that there's not too much of this. That every ibadah, Allah Ta'ala has kept an amount of every ibadah. Yes? that Allah Ta'ala says, for every ibadat I've given a result, but when dhikr of Allah comes, Allah says, kathira, kathira, and kathira is such a word that there's no limit, type of limit to the dhikr and kathira. Because, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says, many tens of thousands I sent. Many tens of thousands. So, less than a million or more than a million. Continue to ask, so where will it go and end? At that point, it will end when that person appreciates that everything in the world will be below and the dhikr of Allah will be high. The heart, we've arrived to the dhikr of Allah as well. Say subhanAllah. So it's not necessary that, oh, that I'm doing this and you do dhikr kathir, I do this much, 10,000, this person doing a lot of dhikr, etc. This is not the quantity. Even if a person does dhikr 100 times, and with that dhikr, alhamdulillah, that he attains a cycle and maqam, that he has gone into the business with dhikr, then that person has become kathir. That becomes dhikr kathir. So that's what we need. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the lock? Brother, so I'll tell you the second lock, and this is more beautiful than the first lock. The beautiful lock, very easy, and the person who is regular in making this, subhanAllah, what is this? That a person who creates that scenario, and he gives the advice of that scenario, of that situation. The person who is wealthy and implements both locks. This is such a lock that all of the Sahaba Ikram will have got the total complete thawab for this as well. SubhanAllah. Or did the Arifin put the result into effect? But it is very easy and simple, and you can apply this as well. You want to put this on? Say it loudly. Do you want to apply this? Or do you want to start? You should be putting this on from tomorrow. That's when the enjoyment comes. That you realize what I'm saying. You do shukr Allah. What a great example you're giving to me. You've understood what I'm saying. Then put the locks on. So will this lock be applied, inshallah? True promise? SubhanAllah, then okay, fine. So this is that lock, which is what? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say SubhanAllah. And this is the great lock that we need to unlock. The person who sees that the iman of Rasulullah and he had the sunnah, and the person who starts to practice this, that individual in no way can leave this dunya with any queries. No way. Or leave without iman, because this is the guarantee of Rasulullah and Allah, that the person who does amal on the sunnah, Rasulullah said, I will love that person. Ma kana fi jannati, that I will take that person with me into Jannah, paradise. Tell me, how can that person become ill? That woman, that man, how can that person be? So, at any time, wherever, whenever you get an opportunity, and what you can do, and you know that here's the end user here, and it's proven that Rasulullah has done this amal, and this amal is mahbub to you, and I can do this, you can do this, there's no difference. No difference, I have no loss, there's nothing, no imposition, and I can make this easy. But yes, one thing can be made, that people will laugh. And it's stated that this is not the reason to leave the height of this. So this is then, no, my man. Oh, shall I leave this that people will laugh? What will they say? What will people say? They'll say this. No. That I gave the example. I give the example that a person, a sahabi, he was rubbing his body on that rock. There was no dalil. And here from this, you can read about many hadith practices of Rasulullah. And also, the bad habits have come back. So this is the guarantee of iman that's been given. The guarantee of iman. So whatever we can do with ease, we should do. And those that are harder for us, we should plan for those to be done as well. That, for example, and good news is coming, and it's easy to implement, and it is very easy to put the imam on. He's put the imam on. Alhamdulillah, say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. That's it, end of the story. Allah Ta'ala says that with my fadl, the dhikr, you are doing dhikr, and you know what your parents should be, and 20, 25 years of Jummah thawab you will attain. 25 years, how many months are made from this? How many months? So, what is this month? This month, this many months will we stay alive? And the way we read Jummah, will that be accepted by Allah? But, if you read that Jummah with the Sunnah, and such Sunnah is that there's good news and glad tidings coming, then that Jummah is accepted and this Jummah will be accepted as well. So, will we make this promise and implement, or do we just like to listen to speeches? If we don't wear these, then I'll just think that you came to listen to the discussion today. Allah Ta'ala says, have you not heard what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala says, when I deliver the message to you, then listen carefully. carefully and don't close your eyes. Allah Ta'ala says, otherwise I'll close your heart. Remember this point. Allah Ta'ala says, I will close the doors in such a way that nobody will be able to see or recognize it, and I will open it on Qiyamah Day. Subhanallah. So now there's nothing left for us to discuss. If we do niyyah now that I will every Jummah wear this, and this is also a great achievement. So do we make this promise, Baisab? True promise? Wherever they are in the home, quickly, quickly, you'll dust yourself down and put the handkerchief on your head or the cloth on your head. And may Allah give us the tawfiq to wear safa, the turban, we'll put, wear that. Okay, if you can't wear it from home, you put it into your car, and then when you get to the masjid, then put it on. If you have to go to work, then put it back. Then when you're going to pray salah, then it's not difficult, is it? It's not difficult. Don't tell me it was difficult. So behind this, there's such great news. Then we, subhanAllah, are trying to protect Iman. And we will be leaving the world with Iman. And the Amal will be accepted, the Iman. And Allah said, I will love you. I will love you. So here, due to one Amal, that upon this, Rasulullah liked it so much that we have brought the Sunnah into our life. Tell me. And have we brought that? Okay, it's not going to do the job fully. That's fine. We can take it out of the house, put it in the car, store it somewhere. That's the mahal. That here we do wudu, put the cloth on our head and pray salah. And then Allah Ta'ala will give us a car that we need. What difference does it make? So much thawab, so much reward. And you say, oh, you put on, I don't need the benefit. And then that person who's on the receiving end said, oh, that person is true who looks towards his brothers, etc., and sidelines what he needs. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you love for the other person what you love for yourself, then things will be made easier. There's nothing to force anybody here. It's about muhabbat and love. That this will inshallah take you to Jannah, to paradise, because your sinar will become stronger. Ah yes, one thing remember, that whenever a person goes towards an amal, which is an amal that will take somebody into Jannah, then the shaitan puts the chains around. Very difficult to do the amal straight away. In your heart, it will be doing something, but it will be seeking out the root cause of shaitan. That's why we start from the easy method. Do you understand? Praying salah, what difference does it make? I will come in the car and I'll put the cloth on my head, etc. And here people want to laugh, they laugh. They'll say, okay, you've also become his murid. You say, I'm the murid of Allah and I'm the murid of Rasul, that this Allah's Rasul, and I've become like him. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've become ummati today. Ummati. Give the right answer, the correct answer. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. I am the proper Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. That's it. That's what we need to do. We read Jummah and we get extra color and enjoyment to our deed. And we cannot imagine this. You cannot write this down. So one thing comes into the mind. Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us that these people listen and they like the words and they accepted the words. And until now, you're accepting everything. Alhamdulillah, weren't you? You were from your hearts. That's what we need to listen to. We've come to Jummah. Pray Jummah or whichever masjid. You pray Jummah and keep the turban. Safa. Another point. We want people to laugh because we think we'll get some more thawab. Yes, so when the question will be put forward, that when, for example, people try to scare the individual, but all we need to do is, as soon as you've said subhanAllah after 1 week, may it not be that you will not love that sheet after a week. And this is the tariqah of the sunnah. Think about the beard. Those people who don't have the beard, when they keep the beard, first hal point is that there's no issue, that subhanAllah, they should demonstrate the result. The question doesn't arise. This is how much a person has love for the work. This is the amount of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a person has. So we cannot imagine that somebody says bad about the person of Iman. No. Just previously after reading two nafil, so may Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and may Allah give you the tawfiq, and we strengthen our Iman. Strengthen our Iman and our treasure, because this is such a big responsibility Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We need to put two locks on the heart, dhikr of Allah, consistently sit in the majlis, come and do niyat from here that will come on Thursday night, sometimes will come in the morning, Ya Allah, allow me to gather in one place. And so just like Hazrat, please call me, my heart is saying Allah, Allah, your heart is like the paradise, the animals, your heart will start to speak like the parrot, Allah, Allah, Allah. This was the scenario of Iman. So first, for example, when you'll be told dhikr from the heart, then what will happen is that you will feel nothing at that time. Your eyes will be closed. And you say, is it? Then you keep on opening and opening, but you won't move from there. Then suddenly you close your eyes, and in November you will think, Allah, 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 Allah. So after some time, what will occur? That a person will start to understand that the heart saying something to me. Then you keep on moving, requesting from Allah, requesting from Imma. Then from the depths of the heart, you will hear the words, Allah, Allah, Allah. And we'll hear this from our ears. Just like the child speaks, so then your heart will feel the pain as well at the same time. Because this will increase as the stages increase. So we need to learn from this as well. We need to learn from this. We can say that Hazrat teach me dhikr here. And the second day will not even arrive and you will have learned dhikr. For how easy deen is to implement. Jannah is so easy, I swear by Allah. What's left? That this dhikr you've learned, not just morning and evening, that regularly, Allah Ta'ala says, you'll become the person who is regularly setting the example. Even when you're sleeping, you're doing dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, even if you're sleeping, you're doing dhikr. If you're lying down, you're doing dhikr. If you're working, then you're doing some dhikr. Because the heart is not going to stop, and dhikr is not going to stop either. So if somebody gives tawajjuh or not, we should say, Allah, Allah, my heart needs to keep saying, Allah, Allah, because I'm a dhakr. So learn this. Learn this. But now we're ashamed. What will the dunya say? What will people say? And in this game, the whole of the deen has been stopped. The whole of the deen has been stopped. In this system, process that we're following, we haven't reached a conclusion. We should say that teach us as well, so that we can learn something, so we can take some benefit, so that we can move ahead as zakireen on the Day of Judgment. So if somebody needs to go on tabligh or jamaat or on hajj, and he's doing dhikr, and he's listening to the dars of the hadith, and other places, other items with different colors and form, then dhikr of Allah is mostly done inside, mostly complete. That's it. So after this, dhikr will end, and you can come to me and I will teach you dhikr of Allah. Anyway, wa akhiru da'wahum, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's do some dhikr now. Recite the Durood Sharif.